Jonah. The book of Jonah. It's one of the minor prophets, and it's right before Amos, I think. That help? Maybe not. The book of Jonah is a book that many of us learned about as a kid, and unfortunately, it's all about the whale for many of us. You know, that's the fascination, and unfortunately for us, it's not all about the whale. It's more about us. And this morning, we're coming to chapter 2. We began this journey 2 weeks ago with chapter 1, and I'm going to have to go back and rehash some of it for you. But in Jonah chapter 2, you're going to learn about the prayer that he prayed in the whale. And this prayer has been on me for about 2 weeks, and it's fascinating to me because it's going to talk to us about what we should do when God gives us a timeout. Okay? Very practical advice for what we are to do when life does not go as we expect it, when we have troubles, when we have crisis. The book of Jonah, chapter 2, addresses what we are to do. So I'm going to read beginning in chapter 1 with verse 17. And listen to these verses and try to picture Jonah inside the whale. It says in verse 17, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah." Now everybody gets all hung up on the fish. It's not a whale. It's a great fish, a monster of the sea. And the interesting thing about this fish, the word provided means assigned literally in the Hebrew. God designed a special fish for Jonah. This is not an ordinary fish. You're not going to catch this fish on Lake Washita. It is a special fish designed for Jonah to get his attention. And it says that he was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. You start saying, well, you couldn't live inside a fish. You couldn't. This is a special fish. Now let me say, if you have trouble believing in miracles, you're in trouble already. Because why are you here? Because you believe that Jesus will resurrect you from the dead someday. That's kind of hard to believe, correct? Same way here. God designed this fish for a purpose. And Jonah's attention was somehow gotten inside that fish. Look at verse 1. This is the prayer he prayed. He said, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said," and I love this, "in my distress," in my trouble. You got trouble, you got distress. "In my distress, I called to the Lord." Now, it's important to notice that Lord is capitalized, and I'll talk about this in a little bit. L-O-R-D, all caps, right? Whenever you see that in the Old Testament, it's referring to the word Yahweh that was a name for God. It's kind of like this. It is the personal name of God. So Jonah's inside the whale, and he cries out to Yahweh, and it says, "And he answered me from the depths of the grave." You see, Jonah is going through the water, and this fish grabs him, and it says, "From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry." And I love verse 3. He says, "You hurled me." Now understand, this is not an accident. This fish ride is not an accident. God sometimes hurls you into a well or a problem or a crisis to get your attention. He says, "You hurled me into the deep." It wasn't the sailors on that ship that threw him in the water. It literally was God working through that circumstance. "Into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight." And then I love this part. You might star it. "Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." There's a little hope there. He's in a fish in the ocean. And then he says, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But I love this next part. But you brought my life up from the pit. Understand this. Every pit you're in is not necessarily where you're going to end up. I brought you up from the pit. You brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. And then he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now here's the picture. We've got to do a little reverse here. 2 weeks ago we talked about Jonah. He is a minor prophet. What does that mean? He writes short books. The major prophets are Isaiah and the other guys. They're the major prophets. They're longer. But Jonah was a minor prophet. But the beautiful thing about being a minor prophet, that meant he was called. We're not talking about a pagan here. We're talking about a guy who was called by God to serve him as a prophet. He was to go and tell people what God wanted them to hear. He was called. And the thing I want you to see, if you remember back in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Jonah was going about his life as a prophet, and you get to verse 1, and it's God came to him and said, Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites and preach against their wickedness. So he is an Israelite. He's minding his own business, doing what God had wanted him to do. And then all of a sudden God says, guess what, Jonah? You've got to go to the Ninevites. You need to go tell the Ninevites. Now understand, the Ninevites were Assyrians. They were vicious. They were hated by Israel. They were known for their cruelty. I started researching about the Ninevites and the Assyrian way of doing warfare. They're the meanest people you can read about. I had to quit reading it because they love to torture people, especially their enemies. So get it. Jonah is a prophet, and God says, Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites, go to Nineveh and speak to the Assyrians for me. And guess what Jonah did? He said, no, I'm not going there. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. God said, go to Nineveh, about 600 miles this way. Jonah says no and goes 2,000 miles the opposite direction. So here's the thing I want you to see. This is a church person. This is a person who believes in God, and God tells him to do something, and he says, no, I don't want to. And I started thinking about that, how sad that is, but that's the way we are sometimes. God says go, we say no. God says do this, we say no. God says obey this, we say no. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the good news is God chases after those that are His. He doesn't give up on you just because you make bad decisions. He doesn't give up on you just because you refuse to obey Him. God said go, Jonah said no. What about you this morning? What have you said no to God about? I mean, is there anything that you have said no to God about? Now, what was the reasoning that Jonah said no, he didn't want to go? Well, in chapter 4, verse 2, he said this. That is why I was quick to flee to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. The reason, now get this, the reason Jonah didn't want to go was because he didn't like them. He did not want them to change. He knew that God can change bad people. He despised them so much that he said, I don't want to go, God. I'm going the opposite direction because I know you're a good God. You're a gracious God. Think about it. Now, I just want to get real with you. If you're a believer, now if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a believer, God has a plan and purpose for your life. I believe that with all my heart. It's not just to go to heaven. I believe that if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has a plan and purpose for your life right now. Now, if you're not a Christian, He doesn't have a plan for your life, or He has a plan, but you don't want it. But if you're here this morning, He has a plan and purpose for your life. My question for you is, are you following it? You're no different than Jonah. You're no different from Jonah if God has told you to do something and you say no. You can try to say, well, here's my reason. If God tells you to do, disobedience is disobedience. If God says do this and you don't do it, that's wrong. And anytime we do that, when we live in disobedience, every single one of us, me included, when you live in disobedience, you know what you're doing? You're running from God. You're running from His purpose and your plan. And so here we find Jonah running from God's plan. He's running from the presence of God. And my question for you this morning is, are you running to God or from God? Are you saying, God, I'll do whatever you want? Or are you just doing what you want? Now, here's the beautiful thing. God loves you so much. Now, don't misunderstand me, but understand me. When trials and troubles come into your life, in many cases, it's God trying to get your attention. In many cases, when you're having difficult, that storm that got that ship into trouble in chapter 1 was sent by God. When the ship was breaking up, they realized something was wrong and they called on their gods. They just didn't know Yahweh. But the thing I want you to see is God sent the storm. And the other thing is God sent the fish. God sent the fish to get Jonah's attention. It says in verse 17 of chapter 1, but the Lord provided a great fish. Now here's where I want to talk about time out. In your life, God sometimes will call a timeout to get your attention. In sports, here's what the purpose of a timeout is for, whether it's in football or basketball. When a coach sees something on the field or the court that he doesn't like, when he sees the lineup or if he sees his players not doing right, guess what he will do? He will call a timeout. And the whole point of the timeout is that he will call the players to the side and he will point out what they're doing wrong, or he'll change his lineup. And the whole point of calling the timeout is to send them back out to have victory. Right? I love March Madness, and I was watching that and just amazed, because I would sit there, it's at the end of the game, and they just called a timeout. They go back on the court, and the other coach calls a timeout. Why did he call a timeout? He didn't like what he saw. So he'll come back again and redesign it to send them out to do what he needs to do to get them to have victory. Now here's what I want you to see. God sometimes, through your troubles and your difficulties, is calling a timeout, trying to get your attention. As a parent, what do we call discipline We sometimes put the kid in what? Time out. Why? To redirect his behavior. We see a kid doing this, we pull him from the situation, we put him over here, we're trying to redirect his behavior. But let me tell you something. God does the same thing with us. When you go through difficult times in your life, many times God is trying to call a timeout in your life because He sees it going in the wrong direction. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, but you're not going in that direction. You're not finding that purpose in your life. So He calls a timeout to get your attention. The question is, see, and if you're a believer, God doesn't call timeouts to hurt you. He calls timeouts to correct your behavior. I see this picture so clearly. Jonah's saying, no, I'm going to do my own thing, God. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life. I'm American. I'm free. Free to do what I want. And God says, time out. He's going to Tarshish. He says, time out. Why did God do that? To try to get his attention to change the direction of his life. Now what's interesting to me, he's going towards Tarshish in chapter 1, 2,000 miles this way. But where does God put him? In the other direction on dry land. Now, when you look at this, you see, what you're seeing here is God disciplines us sometimes. He allows us to go through difficulties, problems, troubles, distress, not to hurt us, but to change us. Well, listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. But God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in what? His holiness. God disciplines us. God puts us in time out for our own good. No discipline, wouldn't you agree? He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. When God spanks you, it sometimes isn't fun. He says, no discipline, it says, but it's painful. And then he says, later on, however, he produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been what? Trained by it. Here's the truth. God's going to discipline you. The real question is it going to train you? It's just like that kid in time out. They have a choice. They can either be changed or not changed. And if they're not changed, they should go back to time out. But what's the difference between us and God? God says, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you with that attitude. I don't want you going this direction. Oh, I can do whatever I want. He says, no, time out. We need to understand that God has a purpose and plan for our life. And He expects to change our behavior if we will listen to Him. Now, I got a quote I want you to write down. I love this thing. The belly of a fish is a terrible place to live, but a great place to learn. The discipline that you're going through right now is a terrible place to live, but it's a great place to learn. My concern is that when God disciplines us as believers, we don't learn anything. People make the same dumb decisions over and over again. Why? They don't learn anything. So we look at this and we see that Jonah's in the belly of a whale. And when you're in the belly of a whale, you're lonely. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. It's not nice. And here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes in your life, when you're not happy, when things aren't going the way you want it to, when things are falling apart, maybe you're sick. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe you've got all this stuff going on in your life. Listen to me. It may be God's calling a timeout to try to get your attention. And it's not pleasant, but it's a great place to learn. You either learn or you don't learn. And maybe this morning you feel like God has abandoned you. Your life's a mess. Things aren't going the way you'd planned. Here's the good news. You're just a place that God may want to teach you what you need to know. God, in this beautiful picture, never turns His back on His loved one. He just sometimes has to spank him. You know, somebody said this, and I want you to think about this. Somebody said this, prosperity is a horrible teacher. That's true. When things are going good, we tend not to listen. Let me tell you, in my personal life, the darkest times of my life have been where I've found God to be the clearest. My darkest times in my life have been those times of my greatest learning. What about you? Well, let's talk about what do you do from chapter 2 when you're in timeout? Number one, you call out to the Lord. One of the beautiful things when you're going through trials, when you're going through distress, the first thing you do is you call out to Yahweh. The word Yahweh, we see it in the English Lord, all caps, is kind of like this. My dad's name was Bill Ashburn. All his friends called him Bill Ashburn. He was an insurance salesman, so his clients called him Bill Ashburn. But you know what I called him? Dad. Why? That's his personal name. Now here's the thing. When you're going through trouble, when you're going through distress, it is legit to call out to Yahweh, your dad, your personal, loving, heavenly Father. And even though Jonah was being disobedient, even though Jonah was not listening to God, he still called out to Dad when he needed to. In verses 1 and 2, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, and He answered me. When you call out to God, He will answer you. It just may not be what you want to hear. The first thing you do when you are in timeout, when life is hard, when things are difficult, is you call out to Dad. And you ask for help. And here's the question you ask. When you're going through hard times, our number one question we have for God, tell me if I'm wrong. When we're going through hard times, our number one question that we ask Him is how to get out of it. Right? Lord, I just remove the pain. Get me out of the belly of the whale. What should be your first question? What do I need to learn? What do I need to learn through this situation? Whether it's a disease or a problem or a job loss, a divorce, whatever it may be. Lord, what do I need to learn? Because your crisis is God's way sometimes of getting your attention. I love it. He called upon Dad. He called upon the Lord. And that's where you begin. You call out to Him. He's available even in the belly of the whale. Even in your crisis. God never leaves you alone in your crisis. He's right there with you. Never once was Jonah in the belly of the whale without God's presence. But after you call out for help, you need to listen. And ask God to tell you what you need to hear. You see, when life gets hard, cry out. Asking for help. Asking what you need to learn. Second thing, focus your hope on Jesus. Listen, the worst thing to have happen is to be in the belly of a whale and have no hope. Right? To be in a crisis, to be going through hard times and to have no hope. The one thing we need as humans is hope. And here's the beautiful thing. Even though he's in the belly of a whale, he didn't lose his hope totally. Look at verse 4. He says, I said I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That's hope. The holy temple is where the presence of God was. He never gave up hope that he was going to get back there. In verse 7, it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose where? To your holy temple. He had hope. that God would hear him. Now, his hope was in Yahweh God. Today, for us, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And it's even better. Because listen to what he talks about the book of Hebrews. Now, you know the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were getting disciplined. They were getting spanked. And they were losing hope and they were about ready to give up. They were being persecuted. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We have this what? Hope. And I love the picture. As the anchor of our soul, what gives you hope? What it's Jesus Christ. It is an anchor. He says, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become our high priest. Here's the beautiful picture. When times are bad, people, listen. When times are difficult, when crisis and troubles are happening, we have hope, if we're believers, that Jesus is our high priest. And he's in the Holy of Holies, the inner temple, doing what? Making sure that our sins are taken care of. We have a high priest who is in the Holy of Holies for us. And the imagery of an anchor was the Old Testament symbol for Jesus. Jesus is your hope. When you're going through a hard time, Jesus is your hope. When you're going through a terminal illness, Jesus is your hope. Why? Because in the end, you win. In the end, if you know Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, Paul wrote it this way in chapter 8, verses 28, 37, and 39. And yet we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. We have hope. That God can take your crisis, your trouble, and bring good out of it. He didn't say it was going to be good. He could bring, but look at what else it says. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's hope. And then he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the deal. You may be going through a crisis right now, but if you're a believer, you have hope. You say, well, what if I die from my illness? You win. You have hope. If you know Jesus Christ, whatever you have to sell into in life, you have hope. When you're in distress, you have hope. Not because you can fix it. You know what I've learned as an adult? I can't fix things. I can have hope, and who can? So you don't lose your hope. And then the third thing, change your plans. If you look at verses 8 through 10, you see a changed Jonah. He's been in this trial. He's been in this distress. And it makes a difference. Look what it says. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace. If you're hanging on to whatever else other than Jesus, you won't have grace. But then it says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, that's the key. What I have vowed, I will make good. Remember, God said go to Nineveh. Jonah says no. After the whale experience, Jonah says, I will. I'll make good on my vow. He says, salvation comes from the Lord. And then I love it. Look what happens. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited. Still wasn't pretty. It vomited Jonah onto dry land. So here's the deal. What happened? There comes a point when God's disciplined you that you have to repent. And what does repent mean? It means to change. You can't keep, if you're a child of God, you can't keep running from Him. Sooner or later, you run out of room to run. The only thing you can do is repent and say, not my way, but your way, Lord. The trouble is, in many situations, God's banging us on the head, trying to get our attention, trying to change the direction of our life, our attitudes, our actions. And the trouble is, we don't change. Oh, we may change for a little bit. But the question this morning is God calling a timeout for you? Is He trying to maybe redirect your life so you can win at life? God's discipline is not meant to hurt you. It's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to change you. Instead of fighting the change, the problems in your life, why don't you surrender to the King of the problem? The problem is we don't repent and we stay in the belly of the world. How long are you going to stay in the belly? Chuck Swindoll wrote this about this passage, and I'm closing with this. He said this. He says, no matter what you have done, in spite of how far you have run, no matter how wrong you have been, regardless how long you have wandered, when you pray, God will hear, God will forgive you, God will accept you, God will change you, and God will use you. But only if you call on Him. You know, as I've struggled with this passage for about 2 weeks, I realize that sometimes we think our problems, we almost enjoy them because we don't ever change. And I think the biggest problem we have is we never ask God, what I need to know, what I need to learn. And He keeps spanking us. It's just like me. If I would have kept running into the street as a kid, my mom would have kept switching my legs. I'm not stupid. I learned that I didn't need to be in the street. Question is, what is God trying to teach you? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this powerful passage, and I thank You for Jonah. I guess I like Jonah because he was a rebel running in the wrong direction. He reminds me of me so often. I just hope I can learn from his example and understand that when You spank me, that I just need to change. Father, I sometimes don't understand why we resist Your discipline. Because all You want to do is make our lives better. But oh no, we know better. We're Americans. We can do what we want. And so we leave You out. I pray, Lord, that we would repent, change, and do exactly what You tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.